Good morning. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. We're very excited to have you with us on this Sunday morning. I don't know if you noticed, but someone got a little happy with a hammer last week and destroyed a big section of our church. Really? I thought that was funnier than what y'all are giving me credit for. Y'all are killing me. Is this 4th of July weekend again? Are we still that proud? No. Come on. Everybody turn to somebody and say, wake up. We're here to worship God, to celebrate His presence with us. Say that. Yeah, it's getting too late. We are so not that church, Baptist church, but we'll get there. We have started construction out there on the new atrium expansion when we will blow out the walls of the current atrium and move it forward and create a new community gathering space for the entire church. Now, what that has to do with you is, one, already you might have usually come in this way and seen the sign that says, nope. And eventually, we are going to knock the wall down. We're going to put up a wall right here, right where the Workman family is sitting, and then knock the wall in the parlor down and create a bigger opening there and put in some wooden sliding doors. So the parlor will be effectively shut down. Now, they're going to wait until the very last moment to do that. They're going to try as long as they can to be outside as long as they can to disrupt us as little as possible. But inevitably, there will be a time when that happens. So what we are trying to figure out is how to enter into the CLC. The sanctuary, they're like, oh, we have mini doors, you know, great, that's wonderful. We don't. So we're figuring it out right now. I would suggest that you get here early and you park on this side of the building because that is more advantageous to you to get in, somewhere over yonder. We think that the kitchen door, there's a kitchen door. It says on the outside of it, strangely enough, kitchen. That is the door that you will be entering in, what we believe, then walking back through F-103, which is kind of our prayer room back there, is how you will enter in those weeks. But you might have questions about that, and I just wanted to, you know, calm down. You know, it's all going to be okay. We're all going to get in here. Usually when churches have building projects, their attendance goes up. Apparently not so with us. We start building and, like, people are gone. Greatness. So here we are in Matthew still, chapter 16. August said this morning that her son is going to learn to read before we finish Matthew. Sydney, if you've seen him, is like, wee little bitty. And I'm like, thanks so much for that. And she may have been talking about the new son that she has in her belly. We don't know if he's a son yet, but I'm just saying. Matthew 16 is where we are. And if you remember from last week, Jesus says to Peter, "Be gone, Satan. Get behind me. And continue to follow me. I have to do what I have to do. I have to live my life the way I live my life. There are things that are set out for me that are for the glory of God and for your benefit. So don't try to stop me from doing what God has planned for me." He says this, then Jesus says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? For I, the Son of Man, will come in the glory of my Father with his angels and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I assure you that some of you standing here right now will not die before you see me, the Son of Man, coming in my kingdom. Now, this chunk of scripture is an interesting one. One, some of the things he says, pick up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. Jesus says multiple times. He has already said it in Matthew, if you remember, months ago, Matthew chapter 10. He said it. He says it again here. He will say it in Mark. He will say it four times, I think, three times in Luke. He will say it in John. It's important for him, for us to realize this part of the scripture. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. I was sitting with Jenna last night, and I was talking to her. She's like, so what are you going to talk about tomorrow morning? And I said, well, you know, the whole picking up your cross fun stuff. It's a happy, cheery subject. I said, it's like the anti-Jerry Maguire talk. But then as I sat there, I was like, no, actually, it's right on with Jerry Maguire. If you remember the Jerry Maguire movie, it was a movie many years ago, there was this memo written that just shattered the belief and the way of the process of sports agents. And he went against everything that they had always built themselves up to be. but it was the right way to do things. And so he stands up as he's fired in the middle of his office and says, "Who's going with me? Who's going to pick up their cross and follow me?" And one girl, you know, stands up, "I will go with you." And it was Shirley somebody or something like that. But as I thought about it, I was like, wow, that's exactly what's happening right here. Jesus is saying, who is going to stand against everything that the world has ever taught you and follow me? Who is going to choose a life that stands most of the time in opposition of the world, maybe even in opposition of your family, and follow me? You know, when he says to Peter, "Be gone behind me, Satan," we talked last week that the difference between that and when he was tempted in the desert and told Satan to be gone, period. The difference was he said to get behind me, to stay behind me and learn everything about me so that you can be like me. So how do we be like Jesus? We deny ourselves. We pick up our cross and we follow the leader. Ever played that game, Follow the Leader? Anybody ever played the game? Remember that game, Follow the Leader? Yeah, some of you had really sad childhoods. You need to do something. Follow the Leader was everything I do, you do. So if I start, you know, you would start doing that. And whatever I did, if I eat dirt, you would eat dirt or you lose, you know. That was always the way that we played it, you know, who could gross out the other person and then you win. Follow the Leader was everything that the leader does, you do. Essentially, what Christ says when he says follow me is to follow the leader. Everything that I do, you do. No matter if it seems weird, no matter if it seems wrong, no matter if it seems contrary, because it is not. This is my way. Follow me. Be like me. So that's what he says, to deny ourselves and follow him. Now, I want to jump to the end there and then reverse back into that. I assure you that some of you standing here right now will not die before you see me, the Son of Man, coming in my kingdom. Now, that can be a confusing scripture. That can be a confusing thing if you're like, well, wait a minute, because you didn't come back. A lot of times people interpret that as the second coming of Christ. But in actuality, if you look at Luke's or Mark's interpretation of this, he has it a little differently, saying, see the power of God, the kingdom of God coming, the power and glory of God in through Jesus Christ. And in the next chapter, three of the disciples get to see that happen, the transfiguration. They get to see this momentous occasion when Jesus becomes into the reality of who he will be. And then later, they all get to see him raised from the dead. So that scripture's been fulfilled. It's happened. Even after he ascended into heaven, they saw the power of God and the kingdom of God in their lives as it swept through Asia Minor and changed the Roman world. They saw it happen. I've seen it happen in the birth of two children. When a child is born into this world, I think that the hand of God is there. I believe for all of the things that have to happen for a child to be born. I'm no doctor, but it seems pretty amazing to me. I've seen the hand of God. So this scripture doesn't say that the second coming of Jesus would happen before the disciples die. It talks about the fact that the kingdom of God, the power and glory of God will happen. Fulfill. Go back a little bit. Those who would save their life will lose it. Those who will lose their life for me will save it. Now, when Matthew is writing this, it's about AD 80 to 90. So it's a little bit later, but it is in the height of Christian persecution. It is in a time when if you were a believer in Jesus Christ, your life was in danger because of it. You lived in a world that stood against you in every way. You lived in a world where you had to bow down to other gods in order to shop at the mall. And you couldn't do that because you know there is but one true God. So how do you live your life in a world like that? You come together as a community. But it's easier sometimes to deny your faith and live your life in this. And what Matthew here is saying through the words of Jesus is, no, you may get temporary life from turning your back on God, but in the end, that's not the way it works. Because as we talked about in the parable of the big fish, the big net and all the fish, when the net's cast out and we drag all the fish onto the shore, the angels will come and they will sort those who belong to God and those who do not. And what Christ says right here is, I will come back with my angels and we will sort out those who belong and those who do not. Those who have followed me and those who have chosen themselves. This is a scripture of, it's like the win one for the Gipper. It's halftime. You're down. It's time to really get it together and push through. To deny yourself. And what that means is, what William Barclay says is, he says to stop putting yourself on the throne and put God on the throne. To stop living your life in such a way that you are the center of the universe and realize that He is. To deny yourself means to live a life of sacrifice, to live a life of adventure, to live a life of faithfulness, to know that sometimes the way of the world is not the way of God. The way of the world is easier sometimes, but it's not the right way. We've all faced circumstances in our lives that have taken us down those paths of, what do we choose? Do we choose the easy path, the way of the world, or do we choose the righteous path, the way of God? A lot of times people think, when they hear this picture, I mean, let's face it, it's not a pretty picture, is it? Hey, pick up the cross. Pick up this instrument of torture. Pick up this heavy, horrible, horrible instrument of torture and death and persecution. What a wonderful picture. If you're trying to get people to follow you, is that what you're going to do? Hey, why don't you come join my team and I'm going to beat the living tar out of you. Just come on. Come step into my house and we're going to make your life miserable. It's kind of what he's saying, but we don't live in an age where we really have to face martyrdom, do we? There are places in this world that do. There are still places in this world where being a follower of Jesus Christ puts your life on the line. And we who have freedom need to support and pray for those people daily. Our brothers.